بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين، فترك أمته على البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها بعده إلا هالك. اللهم فصل وسلم وبارك وأكرم وأنعم على نبيك الكريم ورسولك الأمين المبعوث بالأدلة الباهرة والهجة القاهرة، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we give thanks to Almighty Allah, who in His infinite mercy has made it possible for us to be here to witness yet another important occasion organized by the popular and able AMSA of the Ahmad Bello University Zaria. This night of Friday, tournament of Shawwal 1431 after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which is equivalent to Gregorian calendar 16th of September year 2010. I am particularly happy that the chairman of the occasion is the pioneer Wakil, as is being called now, or Amir in our own time, of the same AMSA. Incidentally, Malam Hamza was the brain behind the creation of the then baby AMSA, and maybe by default or by design, I was the interim secretary of the baby AMSA. But today, the baby has grown wings, and alhamdulillah, activities are going on. And also, by coincidence, one of our mentors in MSS, Dr. Awal, is also here. On the whole idea is to share some experiences with our brothers and sisters so that we know what we are here for, what is expected of us, and what, as Muslims, we should try to aspire for. The topic of discussion has been announced by the chairman, but I intend to make a slight modification to the topic without in any way changing the meaning or the substance contained in the topic. What I am going to present is titled The Way of the Prophets and Their Followers, A Food for Thought. And from the beginning, I quoted a verse from the Holy Quran in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 19, which actually is what the coinage of the topic given to me, you know, stands for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, أولئك الذين هدى الله فبهداه مقتدي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the ones whom Allah guided, so follow their guidance. And that is where the topic of discussion this night was lifted from. And it is in a deep elaborate the topic that I felt strongly that the topic may be modified to read as the way of the prophets and their followers, a food for thought. I don't intend to spend more than 50 minutes in trying to discuss this topic. So therefore, I am going to delve into the business head on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, as quoted earlier, has directed or commanded our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to follow the footsteps of the prophets and messengers that came before him. After narrating their stories and some of their ordeals and some of the persecution meted them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also praised them for tenaciously holding on to the guidance given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also championing the cause of his religion. Then he commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to follow their footsteps, since they are the ones that have been guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُمْ اِقْتَدِي. That these indeed are the ones guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore follow their guidance or their footsteps. Since they are already guided, if you follow their footsteps, naturally you are following the path of guidance. But this followership, iqtadi, the root of the word iqtadi, follow their guidance, is al-qudwa. And that is the starting point. According to the experts in Arabic language, the linguistic meaning of al-qudwa or followership or exemplification, or you may even call it copying, is from qudwa, qidwa, qidati. The author of Lisan al-Arab has this to say: يقال قدوة قدوة وقدة لما يقتدى به. If you intend to follow something or to copy something or to do something similar to what has been done before you, you say قدوة or قدوة or قدة. It is also been said in Arabic, لِيْتِكَ قُدْوَةٌ وَقِدْوَةٌ وَقِدْوَةٌ. I have in you an example to copy or something to follow. So they said قِدْوَةٌ with kasra or قُدْوَةٌ with dhamma. Sometimes they say قِدْوَةٌ. He also said والقدوة القصوى. القدوة and القصوى means the same thing in Arabic. The two words stand for copying or exemplifying or following the footsteps of another, or emulating or making someone a role model. in Al-Mu'jam al-Wasit, the author further elaborates on the meaning of Al-Qudwa, or copying, or following the footsteps of another. And he says, you call Fulanun Qudwatun, Qidwatun, or Qidatun. So person is a Qudwa, is a role model, or Qidwa with Kasra, or Qidatun. All meaning the same thing, role model, an example. إذا كان ممن يقتدى به, if he is among those that whose footsteps are followed, then he will be addressed as قيدتون أو قدوتون أو قدوتون. أي يفعل مثل فعله تشبها به if he do as he does, trying to copy him or copy from him. وفي القرآن أولئك الذين هدى الله فبهداه مقتدي. These indeed are the people whom Allah has guided, so follow their guidance. In Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 19. But technically, the word Qudwa or Qidwa or Qidatun, that is making somebody a role model or an example or following the footsteps of another, means as Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi in his Tafsir Fath al-Kabir said, Al-Iqtida' huwa talabu muwafaqat al-ghayri fi fi'lihi. Al-Iqtida', following the footsteps of another, simply means trying to do exactly what another person has done, trying to copy from another, or making another an example for you to follow. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi in his Al-Jami' li Ahkam al-Qur'an further said, هو ما يتأسيه أي يعتزي به فيقتدي به في جميع أحواله. When you say somebody is a Qudwa or a Qidwa or a Qidatun, you are simply saying he is a person that you want to copy, you want to emulate and exemplify by following his footsteps or by doing exactly what he has done. In the Quran, the word Qudwa appears twice. One describing good example and the other describing bad example. So it means the word Qudwa will come up either good example or bad example. Even though most often than not, when the Arabs use the word Qudwa or Qidwa or Qidatun, they are using it a reference to good example, not bad example. The thrust of this lecture is verse 90 of Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6 of the Holy Quran. We've covered it earlier. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أولئك الذين هدى الله فبهداه مقتدي. These are the people that Allah these are the people that have been guided by Allah, so follow their guidance. In trying to explain this verse, Abu Ja'far al-Tabari al-Imam in his famous Tafsir, Tafsir al-Tabari, the first ever published explanation of the Holy Quran, has this to say in trying to explain the meaning of chapter 6 verse 90, أولئك الذين هدى الله فبهداه مقتدي. He said, أولئك أي هؤلاء القوم الذين وكلنا بآياتنا وليسوا بهذه كافرين هم الذين هداهم الله لدينه الحق وحفظ ما وكلوا بحفظه من آيات كتابه والقيام بحدوده واتباع حلاله وحرامه والأمل بما فيه من أمر الله والانتهاء عما فيه من نهيه فوفقه جل ثناؤه لذلك فهداهم. He said, the meaning of this verse is that these people to whom we entrusted our signs and they never denied it are the ones guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his deen, his religion. And we are guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve that which they were entrusted of his book and also standing firm upon the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keeping to the do's and don'ts of Allah and also working or acting in accordance with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and shunning away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden them. Allah therefore guided them onto the right path. Iqtabih, follow the footsteps of these people. He said, يَقُولُ تَعَالَى ذِكْرُهُ فَبِالْأَمَلِ الَّذِي أَنِلُوا وَالْمِنْهَاجِ الَّذِي سَلَكُوا وَبِالْهُدَى الَّذِي هَدَيْنَاهُ وَالتَّوْفِيقِ الَّذِي وَفَّقَنَاهُ اِقْتَبِهْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ أي فَأَمَلْ وَخُذِهِ وَاسْلُكْهُ فإنه أمل لله فيه رضا ومنهاج من سلكه اهتدى. He said the meaning of iqtadi is that what they have done, that which qualified them to be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow it, act upon it. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, use it, hold on to it tenaciously, for doing it is serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and following it is following a path of guidance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, looking at the explanation offered by Al-Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tabari in his famous tafsir, one will easily infer from the explanation that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to follow the footsteps of the prophets and the messengers that came before him. And what is their way? Their way is the way of Allah. What is their way? Their way is the way of guidance. What is their way? Their way is the way of following the do's or keeping to the do's and don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their way is the way of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keeping away from that which invokes the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Holy Quran and in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the word al-qudwa and its other roots have been used in several places. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to follow the way of the Prophet before him, as we have repeatedly cited from the Quran, chapter 6, Surah Al-An'am, verse 90. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي. And in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 35, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also commanded our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to follow the footsteps of the earlier prophets in terms of patience and perseverance upon the path of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The path of da'wah is always full with a lot of persecution, a lot of problems, and you have to accept that, you have to also believe that if you are calling upon the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you like it or not, no matter how cautious you are, you will be faced with some trials, with some tribulations, and a lot of other problems that will come your way as a result of holding or keeping to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way of da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Be patient as those great messengers before you became were patient. Because most of them were persecuted. Some were even slain by their own people. They were killed by their people. Some were persecuted or driven away from their homes. Some were plotted against. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all saved them. And they really stood the trial of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what they have stood to be, what they have stood to be in terms of keeping, or rather in terms of remaining firm upon the way of da'wah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow their way, because their way is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, Muslims are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to copy, exemplify and emulate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything, and to copy from the other prophets in their way of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 33, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. There is indeed a good example for you to follow in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for those who hope for good in the sight of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mumtahana, verse 4, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. A good example is there for you to follow in the lifestyle or in the way of Ibrahim and those that were with him. When they said to their own people, we dissociated ourselves from you and that which you worship. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to copy, to follow the footsteps, the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in his firmness, steadfastness upon the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That no matter the amount of pressure, no matter the amount of persecution that a Muslim will be faced with as a result of calling onto the way of Allah, as a result of doing da'wah, as a result of living a practicing Muslim, as a result of following the dictates of Allah, as a result of trying to follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what people will say about you, no matter the kind of scolding you will be met with, the kind of being taken for granted or being jested for, you should remain steadfast, you should remain perseverant, you should remain firm and unshakable. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to follow the way of Ibrahim and the people that were with him when they said to their own people, we have indeed dissociated ourselves from you and from that which you worship. They worship idol, and Ibrahim will not worship idol. Ibrahim will not allow people to worship idol without cautioning them, without reminding them of the turmoil of the day of Qiyamah if they insist and persist in worshipping idols. Also, in the same surah, Surah Al-Mumtahana, verse 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِيهِمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. There is indeed for you from there a good example, referring to the prophets in their entirety. that looking at what they have passed through in terms of ordeal, in terms of tribulations, in terms of trials, persecutions, denial, and forsaking, there is a good example for us in their lives to follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches the Muslims to pray for taking lead or for giving the opportunity to take lead in taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, encourages us to pray fervently for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the leaders in taqwa. Allah says in Surah Al-Furqan, verse 74, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Oh Allah, make us good examples. Oh Allah, make us role models, make us leaders to other Muslims that will come after us in the area of taqwa, in the area of Allah's consciousness, in the area of Allah's fearing and Allah's fighting. A Muslim should always aspire to be a role model, to be a good example for others to follow in the area of taqwa, doing what Allah says and living what Allah forbids. That is what a Muslim should always aspire. You need not to bother yourself being a leader or being an example in the area of struggling to make a living. There is nothing wrong in doing that. In fact, struggling to make a living is an act of ibadah if and only if done within the confines of the Sharia and sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an act of ibadah for one to struggle to make a living. It's an act of ibadah for one to struggle to earn a very good class of degree. First class, if possible. 2-1, 2-2. If third class, إِيَاذَا بِاللَّهِ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. If it is fast, subhanallah, نَسْأَلُ اللَّهِ سَلَامَةَ وَالْعَافِيَةَ. But then, while you are aspiring to do that, to be a good example, you should aspire more to be a good example for others to follow in the area of taqwa, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keeping to the do's and don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to pray fervently for Him to make us among the leaders of this world in the area of taqwa. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And let us leaders, let us take lead in the area of taqwa for others to follow. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we also find quite a number of examples concerning qudwa, exemplification of following the footsteps of others. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us to copy him in our salat, in our prayer, and also in discharging the rites of Hajj pilgrimage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu said as contained in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you see me praying. Meaning, copy, exemplify me, make me, or copy from me the way you are going to pray. On one occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stepped on the pulpit. He mounted the pulpit, that is the member, and then observe his prayer altogether on the pulpit, except prostration. Whenever he wants to prostrate, he will come down, prostrate on the floor, on the ground, and then went back to, or maybe mounted back on the pulpit. After the prayer, he said, "Inna ma zana'atu hadha lita'tammu bi wa litu'allimu salati." I did this so that you will exemplify me and you will know how I pray. So it means, in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanding us, is educating or teaching us to always try to copy him in the way and manner we pray. In another hadith recorded by Imam Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لِتَأْخُذُوا أَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. After completing the rite of Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the Sahaba, and he said, towards the concluding part of the address, that لتأخذوا عني مناسككم, that you should learn from me how you are going to discharge the pilgrimage rites. Meaning, the Prophet ﷺ should be an example for us, should be something, or should be an embodiment or a role model for us to do in whatever we do for the, to the best of our own abilities and capabilities. Also, the Prophet ﷺ has encouraged Muslims to be good example in righteousness. That as a Muslim, you should always try to be a good example for others to follow as a Muslim. Because in one of the ahadith recorded by Imam Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man dalla ala khayri falahu mithlu ajri fa'ili." Whoever show others the path of goodness or righteousness, he will be rewarded exactly the same with the one that follows the way. In other words, if you teach people, or if you start something that which is good and is righteous in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those that follow your footsteps, they will be rewarded. You will also be given reward equivalent to their own reward for starting what others are now following. In the same sense, if you start something bad or evil and others copy from you, you will be given, you know, you will be, sin will be recorded for you. In the same way, it will be recorded for those that copy your own evil way. And that is why a Muslim should always try to see that he becomes a symbol of good and righteousness. And that he should always be an ambassador of Islam wherever he or she may find him or herself. In another hadith, a long hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sunnata al-Islam sunnatan hasanatan falahu ajruha wa ajru man 'amila biha min ba'dihi." Whoever started something good and is copied by others, he will be given the reward for what he has done and the reward of those that follow his footsteps. This hadith is also recorded by Imam Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also trained his companions, the Sahabatul Kiram, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'ina, on good followership and good exemplification. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith recorded by Imam Ahmad in his Sunnah, in his Musnad, and Imam Tirmidhi in his Sunan, said, "Iktabu min al-bayn min ba'di Abu Bakr wa Umar." Follow the footsteps of these two after me. And he pointed at Abu Bakr and Umar. From this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching or training the Sahaba to be people, or to always be good followers, so that they will know the right people to follow, because they all know who Abu Bakr and Umar were during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their position in Islam, their position before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their position among the Sahaba, and also their leadership in righteousness, in taqwa, and also in doing good for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, if Abu Bakr and Umar would be singled out by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, commanding the Sahaba to follow their footsteps, to copy from them, to exemplify them, to make them role models, to also emulate them, this clearly shows the position of Abu Bakr and Umar before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also among the Sahaba themselves. In another hadith also, recorded by Imam al-Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trying to remind or educate the Sahaba on the need for them to be patient and to be perseverant upon the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the Sahaba, Khaddam ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu, approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while the Prophet was lying down near the Kaaba and complained of the persecution they are making with from the pagans of Mecca in those days. He complained
the disciples are persecuting us. They have killed some of us. They have maimed some of us. And they are not making life easy to some of us. Why don't you, O Messenger of Allah, pray so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy them and give us victory? Then the Prophet sallallahu sat down and smiled and he said, among the people that came before you, some were taken by the disbelievers of their time and torn into different parts. They were even slain or cut into two pieces. They are divided into two. All because they say Allah is their Lord. But that persecution, that punishment, that trial or tribulation has not prevented them from remaining firm and steadfast on the way of Allah. The Prophet said, Wallahi, by Allah, this religion will spread far and near until it reaches to the place where sunrise, and nothing will stop it because it is the will of Allah. From this hadith, the Prophet was consoling the Sahaba, trying to make them understand that to be upon the path of Allah requires a lot. You have to be patient. At least, if nothing, people will say he's an extremist, a terrorist, a fundamentalist. He always believes that he's the only Muslim, Puritan Muslim. You will be called names. You will be described differently, in different ways. If she is a Muslim sister wearing full hijab, they will say ninja. If she is wearing niqab, they will say because she is ugly. She doesn't want people to see her ugliness or her ugliness. If he keeps that, they will say he's making himself look old. He's looking older than his age. If he didn't want his trouser to touch the ground, they will say, look at him with his halfway trouser as if he's about to cross the fire or a fire. You will be called men, and people will always try to attack you in one way or the other. They will be praying for your doom. They will always, you know, make false accusations against you. And above all, you may end up in jail, as happened to our noble brother, Dr. Ahmed Abubakar Mahmoud Guni, on the basis of some of the false reports sent by the government of Obasanjo. And many others found themselves, you know, ended up in jail. Some of them died also in prison, and so on and so forth. So the Prophet was consoling the Sahaba to know that for sure, if they are to remain good Muslims, practicing Muslims, Muslims that will take, that will take lead in the areas of taqwa and sincerity, definitely they will be tried. Allah will not just leave them to merely confess iman without being tested. They have to be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that those that truly believe in Allah will clearly be distinguished from those that falsely believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the question is, why do we have to follow the footsteps of the Prophet? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow the footsteps of the guided ones among the Prophets of Allah. Why the way of the Prophets? There are about 5 reasons why we have to follow the way of our pious predecessors, at the head of which, or at the head of whom, are the Prophets and Messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first reason is diversity of methodology among Muslim reformists and revivalists. Today, you find that people are trying to reform the religion and also revive its teachings. But then, there is divergent opinion as to the best way to go about reforming and also restoring the dignity
and the lost, you know, glory of the Muslim Ummah. Which way is the best way? Because of this divergent opinion, it is always better for the Muslims to refer back to the way of the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for better guidance. Two, the prophets and messengers of Allah are infallible. Their infallibility has qualified them without an iota of doubt to be exemplified and emulated by all Muslims. They are infallible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them from committing errors while disseminating the message given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't make fundamental errors. Of course, as human beings, they make errors, but on issues that pertain this worldly things. But as far as the religion is concerned, and as far as issues that relate to the mission with which they were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have been protected, or they were protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the meaning of Ismatul Anbiya'i wa Rusul. Now, because of that quality in them, they are qualified to be followed, copied, and exemplified by all of us. The third reason is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself to follow the way of the Prophet before him. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded him, any command given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except where otherwise stated, is a command to the Ummah of our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The fourth reason is that the Prophets of Allah are the symbol of victory and epitome of success. If they are talking of victory, they are the symbol of victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them victory despite all the persecution, despite the several deniers of their people, of their mission and their message. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared them victorious at the end of it all. If they are talking of success, they are the epitome of success. If you want to see success working with two legs, then see or read the history and the story of the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this reason also, we have to follow their way. A fifth reason why we have to follow the way of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the proliferation of deviant movements. There are quite a number of deviant movements. Only today I was reading that a scholar, one of the top and leading scholars in Egypt, supports France ban of veil wearing by Muslim women. He said veil has no place at all in Islam. It has no place in the Quran and Sunnah. And he's one of the topmost clerics and scholars of Al-Azhar. He even published a whole book on it. He said he is about sending a copy of the book to the Muslims of France so that they will know that they have not left Islam. He has a movement. Certainly, without any doubt, the movement is a deviant one. We have other movements like the Ahmadiyya movement. It's also a deviant movement because they claim that Ghulam Ahmad Misra was a messiah and the Mahdi that the Prophet talked of prophesying his appearance before the day of Qiyamah. They also said the Prophet Muhammad was never the seal of the prophets. They interpolated the meaning of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ لِرِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. They said it means beauty of the prophets and not sin of the prophets or land of the prophets. It's a deviant movement. This movement has been declared a deviant movement and a movement of apostasy. We also have another movement called Al-Qur'aniyun, or better called Ash-Shaytaniyun. Those that claim to be holding only onto the Quran. They have no need for the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They have no need for the books of fiqh. They have no need for all the statements of our scholars. To them, it is only the Quran that should be held by the Muslims as the only source of guidance. This also is a deviant movement. There are so many other deviant movements, including the modern movement called Modernism, or better called in Arabic Al-Ashariya. That movement that always condemned the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all in the name of contradiction of some scientific findings. More than one quarter of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have been condemned by the followers of this deviant movement, all in the name of trying to weigh the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the scale of scientific discoveries. In addition to that, we have other deviant movements that are also becoming very prominent among us, the Shia movement, which also is a movement that is completely and totally against the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it's a movement that believes in the incompleteness of the Quran, a movement that believes in the apostasy of the Sahaba. They condemn the Sahaba in their entirety. They also believe that the pillars of Islam, we know the five pillars of Islam are not five pillars but six. Imamate is one of the pillars of Islam. They believe in so many things too heavy to be mentioned in this forum. So because of this proliferation of some of these deviant movements, it is always necessary for the Muslims to refer back to the way of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That same way that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to follow. Now, what is the way of the prophets? What does it constitute? The first thing, as far as the way of the prophets is concerned, is calling to Tawheed. When you read the Quran, you find that the way of the prophets is the way of Tawheed, that is monotheism, the way of believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only deity worthy of being worshipped alone, without associating partners unto Him. The way of preserving the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the area of His Rububiyyah, in the area of His Uluhiyyah, in the area of His Al-Asma wa Sifat. The area of believing, or the Tawheed that constitutes belief in the supremacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His supremacy to give laws and also to dictate to His servants that which is better for them, that which they must abide by. It is also the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prophets of Allah alayhi wasallam, training people to be Allah's servants and Allah's slaves alone. The Prophet of Allah spent their lives in training people to be Allah's slaves alone and Allah alone, so that there will be no any share of their slavery for anybody other than Him alone. They try to link people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly by training them upon His way, by teaching them what He has taught them or what He has revealed unto them. It is also the way of Allah, the way of the prophets of Allah, to do whatever they do in the area of the hour free of charge, sincerely for the sake of Allah, without seeking any worldly benefits from the beneficiaries. Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the messengers of Allah, when they disseminate or when they touch the people or when they pass the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they always tell them, I do not ask you for anywhere. وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجَرٍ. I do not ask you for anywhere for what I have told you or what I have conveyed to you. So one of the ways, so it is the way of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for one to call to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the word of Allah alone and without link us to worldly benefits. It is also the way of the prophets
struggling to ensure the establishment of a single community, one community, community of Tawheed, community of good and sound Aqeedah, community of strugglers, community of reformers, community of transformers, and community of sincere believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the way of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealing with people with gentleness and with humility. The Prophet of Allah were never harsh, hardness. They were always humble, gentle, and also dealing with people with humility. They never take pride or be arrogant to anybody. They are simple. If you see them being tough, they are only being tough as a result of a violation of the sanctity of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described, as sanctity. Once the sanctity of Allah is violated, then they take offense. But they don't take offense simply because their own personality is touched. But they take offense because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that we find it very, very difficult to abide by today. Because people can always take offense. They can easily take offense because their own have been wronged. Or they have been wronged personally, or maybe they have been assaulted, or because their father is being accused, or is being insulted, or because their friend, or their sheikh, or any other one they respect is being assaulted. But the Prophet will be insulted, they don't do anything, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the sanctity of the religion will be violated, and they will not take offense, they will not feel anything, they take things normal, they feel normal. Even if you question them, brother or sister, why are you feeling normal? Besides the violation of the sanctity of Allah, they will say, guys, I don't want trouble. But if his own personality or his own so-called integrity will be violated or will be encouraged, then you see them taking offense. You see them, going to whatever length in trying to protect their own interests. It is also the way of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making things very, very clear and explicit. There is no vagueness in the religion taught by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no vagueness in what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has practiced throughout his life. There is no vagueness in the message that the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passed or conveyed unto their people. Clarity and explicitness of message. It is also the way of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being mindful of their situation and condition. If you really want to copy from the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to be mindful of your own circumstances. You don't just be unmindful of what is happening around you. You are blind. You don't even know what is happening around you. You are only interested in what is happening, far away from you. You should be mindful of your own condition, your own situation, your own circumstance, the circumstance of the Muslims of your own time. That is the way of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also the way of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala following the doctrine of or the principle of al-wala'u wala, loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. You find that many people today don't love for Allah's sake. They don't hate for Allah's sake. You love people because they love Allah. You love people because they are obedient to Allah. You love people because they worship Allah. You love people because they copy the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You love people because they are obedient servants of Allah. They are upright and they are righteous. You hate people because they hate Allah. You hate people because they hate the religion of Allah. You hate people because they disobey Allah. You hate people because they violate Allah. The messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout their lives, the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually reflected with a lot of records combining this, that you have to love for the sake of Allah and you hate for the sake of Allah. You don't just love for loving them. You don't just hate for hating sake, but you love because of Allah and you hate because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You pray because of Allah and you keep away from someone because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your yardstick should be whether this is a Muslim and whether he is a practicing Muslim and whether he is an obedient Muslim and whether he follows the path of Allah and the path of the Prophet or he violates the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-wala'u wal-bara' is the way of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That which our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Allah to follow. It is also the way of the prophets speaking or conveying message in the language of their people. You don't speak to people in the language you don't understand. You don't make things difficult for people to understand. It doesn't show you, it doesn't depict you as a good scholar or as a good da'iyah or as a reasonable da'iyah or a knowledgeable da'iyah if you speak in the language people will not understand. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, speak to people according to their own understanding. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu used to say, speak to people in the manner they will understand. Or if you want them to deny Allah and His Messenger, so it means it is the way of Allah and a da'iyah and a traveler and an executive of either ANSA, MSS or any other Islamic organization to try to speak to people, to relate with people in the best way, in the best manner and speak to them in the language they will understand. Do not speak in parables where a parable will not be understood by your audience. You should speak plainly with clarity of expression in simple language. And that is why some scholars argue that even khutbah, Friday sermon, is to be given in the language of the people, not Arabic language, if most of the people don't understand Arabic. You will listen to khutbah, you won't even know whether you have been praised or you have been condemned. You don't know. You will only say Allah Akbar when you feel something very strong is being said. Or you will say Ali when you feel that they are praying, they are offering supplications. But are they condemning you? Or they are praising you, you don't know. Why? Because it's a language you don't know. We are not encouraging people not to learn Arabic. I mean not to learn Arabic. We are encouraging to learn Arabic. But the truth of the matter is that Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْلِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. The whole idea, the wisdom behind it is for him to explain to the people. And that is why, for example, if you go to BUK, especially New Site, when Professor Nandamu was the Imam, throughout the khutbah, the two khutbah, he used to give them or deliver them in Hausa. That's why the father is a professor of Arabic. But the khutbah is being delivered in Arabic in Hausa. All through, not even the first part, all through the two parts of the khutbah. And see how people are, you know, being carried along. And that is why, for example, even among us here, you find that our brothers from the southwest, I mean the du'as and the imams from the southwest, has more advantage in terms of carrying their people along than some of us here in the north. This is because all their khutbah, most of it is being given in Yoruba. The dialect that the people understand. And that's why the Imam will be able to carry the people along with him. He will tell them what he wants to tell them. He will give them the message and they will understand and follow. But here, you are saying, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَيْنَ هَامَانَ أَيْنَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَيْنَ قَارُونَ And the قَارُونَ the هَامَانَ and the فِرْعَوْنَ are also with you. You may not know. The problem is you don't speak to the people in the language they understand. So what we are saying here is that it is the way of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak to the people in the language they understand. That is just the message I am saying. I am not telling any fatwa that khutbah should not be said in Arabic. That is not the meaning. I am only saying that if it will be said in the language people understand, I believe the benefit will be more than what we are benefiting from now. It is also the way of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prayers, doing dua, fervently engaging in dua for guidance and for assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before I stop, let me also tell us some of the qualities expected of the Prophet follower
in the field of da'wah. If really you want to practice or you want to put into practice the meaning of chapter 6 verse 90, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُمْ مُقْتَدِي, if you really want to practice that, then there are some qualities that you should try, you should aspire to imbibe. The first one is knowledge of what you are going to call people to. As a da'iyah, nobody is saying you must have a certain level of knowledge, you must have read, you must read 1001 books before you engage in da'wah. No! Whatever you know, whatever you learn, no matter how small or little it is, convey it to others. Even if you cannot quote any Arabic text, convey it. Da'wah of nasiha. Ad-dinu and nasiha. The religion is advice. Therefore, you are expected to convey from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if it is just advice. Balighu anni walau ayah, according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you must make sure that you don't go beyond your own knowledge. If you are asked what you don't know, simply say, I don't know. If you have the time to carry out research, you can say, give me some time, I will conduct research. If you cannot, but you can refer them to another person, you can simply say, please, refer to so-so person, or talk to, or ask so-so person. That is the safest thing for you to do as a Muslim. For should you give fatwa, or should you give a religious opinion without knowledge, whatever wrong committed as a result of your own fatwa, the sin will be recorded against you, according to an authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, verse 108, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِ. Say, this is my way. I call to Allah upon certain knowledge, I and those who follow me. Also, it is expected of the Prophet's follower in da'wah to act in accordance with what he calls people to. If you call people to good, let us see good in you and about you. As you are speaking for the Quran and Sunnah, I mean you are speaking about the Quran and Sunnah, you should also allow the Quran and Sunnah to speak about you. Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ Al-Quran. The manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Quran. So if you want to see the moving Quran, the working Quran, then read the stories or read the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will definitely see, or you will definitely come in contact with the working Quran, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a working Quran in terms of his manners and his behavior. So you are expected to act in accordance with that which you call people to. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrated to us the story of Shu'aib when he admonished his people to keep away from some evil things. They said, why are you asking us to do that? Why? And are you not also going to do it? Shu'aib alayhi salatu wa salam replied by saying, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. I do not wish to forgive you from something and then do it myself. Rather, I only wish to rectify you as fast as I am able to do. Meaning, as a Muslim, you should not be seen contradicting yourself. You should not be seen acting contrary to what you are calling others to. If you call people to good, let us see you doing good. If you call people to righteousness, let us see you doing righteousness or being righteous. But that is not to say that for you to follow or for you to maybe comply or to practice what you are admonished by a brother, he has to do it before you know. Whether the person to call her, do it or not, you are obliged as a Muslim who has listened to admonition to actually exemplify or to practice what you have had. that it is always better for the caller himself, for the da'iyah himself, to be seen and in accordance with that which he calls others. It is also one of the qualities of the follower of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the area of da'wah, having purity of intention, that you should always have sincerity of intention. You do it for the sake of Allah and not because you want to be praised or you want people to recognize you or you want to occupy a particular position or you want people to shower praises upon you. No, you do it for Allah's sake and for the sake of Allah alone. Because in Surah Al-An'am, Allah says in verse 19, La as'alukum alayhi ajra. In Surah Hud, chapter 11, verse 29, Allah says, La as'alukum alayhi ma'ala. I do not ask you for any wealth for what I am conveying to you. So therefore, you do it sincerely for the sake of Allah without recourse to what benefits you are likely going to reap in this world. It is also a quality of the da'iyah that is the follower of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the follower of the way of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in da'wah, beginning with what is of primary importance, then with that which comes next in importance and so on. That we begin with what is called an ahamu, thumma al-muhim. You start with what is of primary importance, then with that which comes next to it in importance. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 36, that all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them had attached importance to what should be given importance to in the era of calling to his wedding. He told us that they attached importance to Tawheed and they placed it topmost in that of priority. Allah says, In Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 12, verse 25, Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لِلرَّسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَأَبُدُونِ. So the starting point is calling people to Tawheed. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed or commanded Mu'adh ibn Jabal when he sent him to Yemen to start with Tawheed first. He said, إِنَّكَ تَعْتِي كَوْمًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُونَ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ فَإِنَّمَا طَاعُوكَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَأَلَمْهُمْ وَفَعَلِّمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خمس صلوات في اليوم والليلة. Starting with Tawheed, followed by Salat, followed by Zakat, and then in that order. So you give importance to what should be given importance. First, you prioritize. It is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in doing that. It is also the way of the Prophet and also a quality expected of the follower of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the area of da'wah, to be patient and to be perseverant in whatever it goes as far as da'wah is concerned. Because in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا وَأُوذُوا حَتَّى أَتَاهُ نَصْرُهُمْ. That indeed, messengers before you were denied by their people and were also harmed, and they patiently persevered until our help came to them. So it means it is one of the qualities of the follower of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be patient and to be perseverant in da'wah. Good manners and calling people with wisdom and dutiful preaching is another quality expected of the follower of the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his da'wah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Na'al, chapter 16, verse 105 says, اُدْوِ لَا تَمِنَ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْئِلَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And in Surah Al-Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa and his brother Harun alayhi wa salatu wa salam to speak to Fir'aun lightly, gently and softly. Allah says in the Quran, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أو يخشى. Also in Surah Al Imran, chapter 3, verse 159, Allah Ta'ala told us about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the qualities of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a leader and as a prophet. Allah says in the Quran, فَبْنَ رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْ تَلَهُ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضْبًا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ وَضُوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. That it is out of the rahmah, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, that you are gentle to them. If you have been harsh and high-heartedness to them, they will have run away from you. They will have shunned you. So it's because of the quality of the da'iyah, the follower of the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is gentleness and humbleness, and also inculcation of good manners and quality people with wisdom and beautiful preaching. It is also the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a quality expected of a da'iyah who wants to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in da'wah, to remain firm in expectation and hope for good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam spent 950 years calling people to the way of Allah, and very, very few people believed him and accepted his message. You have started only yesterday, or last week, or last month, or last year, and you are already tired. You said, why should these people refuse to follow what I'm telling them? Maybe he's the wakil of his class, and he saw a lady, a sister, not wearing hijab. So he talked to her, and she said, inshallah, I will change. She did not change. He talked to her the second time. The third time he said, let her go to hell. After all, her grace is different from her own grace. You've just started. How many days? How many months? How many weeks? Maybe just one semester, and you're already tired. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam spent 950 years in da'wah. Finally, brothers and sisters in Islam, a good example is there for us to follow, copy and exemplify in the lives of some of the noble Sahaba, companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have indeed remained upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout their lives. All the Sahaba, but particularly Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Khadija, Aisha, Fatima, Abu Sulaym, and Mus'ab ibn Umayr. Many examples are there for us to follow in their lives and in their biography. What is important is for us to go back to the books of history, the biography of the Sahaba, and see what we can learn from their biographies and from their struggles. Today, we are faced with a lot of problems. Unfortunately, most of us tend to believe that our problems is the West, the United States of America, the UK, Israel, etc. Yeah, they constitute part of our problem, but they are not actually our problem. We are our own problems. And unless and until we go back to our senses, unless and until we reform ourselves, we revive ourselves, our spirits, and we imbibe the culture or the tradition of our pious predecessors in terms of self-rectification and self-correction, we are not likely going to succeed in our soul. The most important thing is for us to go back to the way of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the prophets, and we, the followers of the prophet, to exemplify and to copy. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the wherewithal to follow the footsteps of our noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, as well as the way of the other prophets that came before him. With this I say, أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Following badly, we are bad now.
Okay.
So you follow them, but we vote for example, we have good luck.
Okay.
Who is a Christian is doing just what I'm doing.
Now.
Do you follow Muslim or do you follow a Christian? Or do you do what you do about leadership who are Muslim but are doing bad?
The chairman has directed me after closing to use maybe the next 2-3 minutes to maybe draw our attention to a very important point, which actually was not part of the lecture I gave or I delivered, but it's important and is closely related to what I have said. Since we are talking of followership, copying the examples of others, the question is, when you have a bad leader, an evil leader, if you have somebody trying to maybe take you even hellfire or lead you to the hell instead of leading you to Al-Jannah, do you still copy him? Do you follow his footsteps?
Because
he's a Muslim? The answer is a capital no. Because the Prophet ﷺ said in one of the hadith, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ لَا إِنَّمَا الطَّاعَةَ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ. And in another hadith, he said, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. That obedience should not, or there should be no obedience to anybody at the expense of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, if a leader, whether a Muslim or a non-Muslim, is actually depicting him or herself as a bad example, it is the responsibility or the duty of the Muslim not to copy. And not only not to copy, but also to try to call the attention of that person if he or she can do that, or to admonish the person if there is the ability to do so, or in what scenario to keep away from him if it has reached to a point of no return. Where it reaches the point of no return, that you are even afraid that you may be affected in your own iman, you will be affected in your own manner of doing things, you will be affected in your own Islam, then the best thing is to keep away from such a person. But if it has not reached that level or point, it's expected that you will use beautiful preaching and good as well as you will use wisdom and beautiful preaching to admonish that person, to remind him of the teachings of Islam, so that the person will become a good Muslim. You don't copy from bad leaders, you don't copy from evil people, you don't make them your role model. Unfortunately, you see Muslims saying that so-so footballer is his role model. That footballer may not even be a Muslim. If he is a Muslim, what is good in football that you will even consider the player to be a role model? Calling themselves names of kuffar or names of deviant people or people without foresight, people that have remained permanently disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, you see people saying that is their own money. I went through one of his class albums, and I saw a Muslim saying that his role model is Karl Marx. Written there, Karl Marx. Another person saying Barack Obama is his role model. How for Allah said, will you make Barack Obama your role model? Even if he's a Muslim, assuming he's still a Muslim, what is good in him, or what is good about him, that you see, that which makes you to consider him a role model? In what way? What about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? What about Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali? What about Talha, Zubayr? What about Abu Huraira? What about so many of them? What about Ibn al-Musayyib, Al-Imam Malik, Bukhari? What about them? What about Sheikh Uthman bin Affan? Are they not enough role models for us to follow? For this text, what about Khadija, Aisha, Ummu Sulaymin, Ummu Salma, Fatima, many of them? Why are you making, Ingoldi or Indira Gandhi your role model? That is very bad. Even if they are Muslims, it's very bad for a Muslim to consider them his role model. Not to talk of most of them are not even Muslim. So followership should be a righteousness. You only follow, you only exemplify good things. You copy righteousness and not evilness. Allahu Akbar.
Okay, sorry. Let me go to me. Go ahead.